In this video, we're going to talk about Visual Studio, the tool itself, so that we can feel more at home inside of our integrated development environment, or rather IDE. Now, in the previous videos, we have already used several of the main parts of Visual Studio. For example, we looked at the toolbox and how we're able to drag and drop controls from the toolbox onto the designer surface. We have the designer surface itself as half of this XAML window that we can work within. On the one side is a visual representation of the controls that we drag and drop onto the design surface. And on the right-hand side, even though we haven't really alluded to this much, you can see a correlation between the button control we dragged and dropped and its representation in the XAML code, the extensible markup language that we have over here on the right-hand pane. We'll talk more about that in day two. We also have the C# editor that we worked in to write our Hello World code. We have the Solution Explorer that allows us to view all the files that are associated with our project and our solution, which we'll talk about in the next video. We have the Properties window, which we use to set properties of the controls. It can be used for other things as well. We'll see that as we go out through the series of lessons. We've already used several of the menus and toolbar options that are docked up to the top side of Visual Studio as well. What I want to do is further expand your knowledge of Visual Studio because it has a lot of tools built in, such as debugging, which we're going to cover right now. And we're going to set a breakpoint, and a breakpoint is like a stop sign for the execution of your application while you are debugging the application. We're debugging it whenever we click the Start Debugging button in the toolbar. It allows us to run the application in an environment that allows us to stop the execution of the code, to inspect the values of the variables and of the properties inside of our code. It allows us to modify the steps of execution in our code and a lot more. We're going to do all that right now. So the first thing that we want to do is set a breakpoint. There's a couple of different ways to do this. My preferred method is just to click on the line of code to that leftmost column. It's slightly grayed out. And when I do that, it puts a red ball and a red line for that line. Think of this as a stop sign for the code. And so that whenever we start debugging our code, we run it just like we did before, and then we click the Click Me button. Notice now that we're stopped. Now, we can do a couple of different things here. We can, first of all, you'll see that this line of code is no longer red, it's yellow, indicating that it's the next line of code that will be executed. We can hover our mouse cursor over various values here. For example, if I hover my mouse cursor over the text property of the My Hello World text block, you can see that there's a little magnifying glass, which gives us the ability to visualize the values. So sometimes there's so much information inside of a property that it's not easily represented in this tiny little window. You can click an XML or an HTML visualizer or some other visualizers that depend on the context will pop up here, and you can see a larger version of whatever stored within that given property. I can also see the current value, which is just an empty string. So right now there's nothing in text. Remember, because we set the text property initially through the properties window, we cleared out all the text and for that property to begin with. We can also use this little pin down, and it works similarly to how the toolbox worked whenever we pinned it down. So we can move through our code now that this highlight, this value will appear no matter how we scroll through the code, it'll appear next to it, which is kind of a neat little feature. Notice also that there's a locals window. We used this previously when we wanted to see what an error was that popped up. But we can also see the values of various things. For example, if I were to drill down into the keyword this, I would find a My Hello World text block. And if I were to drill down into that, I can see the font size for our text block, all the properties, including the text property, which is currently set to an empty string. I can also use a watch window to, when we work with variables, and we would be able to, well, we can do this here now as well. Let me just do this. I'm going to drag and drop that into our watch window and reposition some things here. So watch what happens now if I were to execute this line of code. There are a couple of different ways to execute a line of code. We can use keyboard shortcuts, but I'm going to use the toolbar here, and I'm just going to select this step over button. There's also a step into and a step out of. Those will become more obvious once we get once we write some code that's a little bit more complex. Right now, we don't need that. I'm just going to click the F10 button or click the step over toolbar button. And notice when I do that, the line of execution moves from this line to that ending code block, that ending curly brace line of code. Notice as well that in the watch window, the value of text has changed from empty string to hello world. It's also in a red font, which means it just changed based on the last execution command that occurred. And we see something similar here in this little pop-up window that we can now get rid of using the X cursor or X icon on that little pop-up menu. And then I can continue debugging the application, or I can reset the line of execution again by right-clicking this and selecting Set Next Statement. So we can rerun this line of code one more time, and we can change the order of execution for the lines of code within our application. Why we want to do that, again, not so important. Just want to point out the fact that we can do it. Okay, so then to continue on debugging, I can just select the what was formerly Start Debugging, now is the Continue button to continue running the application, and then now you can see it actually puts Hello World into our onto our text block. All right, I'm going to hit the Stop Debugging button. Now, if I want to remove our breakpoint, I can click on the breakpoint itself to remove it, or I can re-establish it by clicking one more time, or I can go to the debug menu and select toggle breakpoint. And there's also options to clear out all breakpoints as well if you have several set within your application. Okay, so that's a brief overview of debugging. Entire books are devoted to debugging, so we're not going to be able to cover it all here in this video, but hopefully that's enough to get us started. We're going to use this as we're working in our application, so I wanted you to be aware of it. Next up, let's talk about commenting code. You know, several times in this series of videos, I'm going to comment out a line of code and replace it with a different line of code. Or I'm going to write a code comment that'll say something like this, for example. Set the text property to a literal string, which might be an obvious comment in this particular case. Hopefully we would be a little bit more insightful as we write comments. And so comments work for two different purposes. You'll create a code comment to make a note to yourself or perhaps to somebody else that's working on this project with you so that you can remind yourself or that person of the purpose for this code or the business rule that you're trying to enable by writing these commands. It's also useful to comment out lines of code. And when you do that, it'll be ignored by the compiler. So the code comment essentially is a way to tell the compiler, when you come to this line of code, ignore it. Do nothing with it. We're not going to include this in the application that actually gets shipped out to the customer. Okay? So it's a way of telling the compiler, ignore this line of code. And we can use it for either reminding ourselves, writing some English sentence to remind ourselves of what the purpose of this is, or we would use it to disable a line of code temporarily or permanently, but leave it there as a reminder of what we did and how we did it. There's a couple different ways to create code comments. As you can see right now, I'm just using two forward slashes as a means of commenting out a line of code or writing a code comment. The other way you can do it is use this little tool in the toolbar that's comment out these lines of code. So if I had multiple lines of code, and let me just write some code that probably means nothing to you just at this point. We'll dive into this in subsequent videos. Okay, so string my value equals hello world, and then here we'll go my value. Now, I have three lines of code that essentially do exactly what I did in one line of code before, so I just kind of made it a little bit more difficult than I needed to, but I wanted to demonstrate multiple lines of code in a very simple fashion. Here I'm going to select all three lines of code, and I'm going to click on this comment out the selected lines button on the toolbar, and when I do that, it puts comments in front of every line. If I want to get rid of those code comments, I would just go to the button that's next to it, uncomment the selected lines, and that will remove the comments. There's one last way to add code comments, and that is to use a multi-line comment. And the way you do that is much like how you would do it, I believe, in JavaScript. You use a forward slash and a star character, and then a star character and a forward slash to end that code comment. So that's another way to do multiple lines of comments. Okay, so hopefully that covers adequately what code comments are used for and how to use them within your application. Okay, so let's move on now and talk about the next major feature for the day, and that is IntelliSense. So as we were writing this line of code, let's back up all the way here. And you'll recall that I couldn't quite remember the name of the text block. So I started typing in the word hello, thinking it may have started with those letters, but it didn't. However, it did start with the word my hello world text block. I was able to use the arrow keys on my keyboard, and then I hit the period on my keyboard, and it auto-completed the rest of that word. Then it popped open a second text box with the word text already highlighted in the listing. Now I could use my arrow keys to move up and down in that list. Then off to the right hand side, you can see it eased in this little explanation of the text property. Gets or sets the text contents of a system.windows.controls.text block. To get it to type that for me, I'm going to hit the equal sign, and then I'm going to begin to type in the word my value. And after typing three characters, I'm just going to hit now the end of line character, the semicolon. So notice a couple of things happened here. I only typed in a few characters, not the entire line. It dramatically sped up how fast I was able to type this line of code. Secondly, I was able to type without any errors in my typing because I relied on Visual Studio to auto-complete with correct spelling the entire names of objects and properties, and even in this case variables. We'll talk about variables later. It also was able to give me some feedback, some contextual options that are available to me for a given object. When I hit the dot character on my keyboard, it showed me all the properties that are available for the My Hello World text block. So I was able to use the arrow keys to select one of them. And then it gave me some additional information about that text property. Is this really the property I want to use right now? Yes, it is. Now that little description reminds me of the purpose of that property that's available to me within the class library for that particular object. So it helps me in a number of different ways. IntelliSense is one of the best friends you have as a developer. And it was an innovation 10 years ago or 15 years ago whenever Visual Studio integrated it into their environment. And many have used it in their environments as well. The other benefit of IntelliSense is if I were to hover my mouse cursor over a property or an object or even a variable, and get information, that same little information box that popped up whenever we were looking at all the different properties that were available in that listing. Here I can see that the text property gets or sets the text contents of a text block. Here I can hover my mouse cursor over my value. It's a local variable of type string. Here I can hover my mouse cursor over the My Hello World text block. It tells me it is an object of type text block. We'll talk about data types a little bit later. Okay, but it gives me some additional contextual help information about the items that are in my code window. So IntelliSense is your best friend, and you'll come to rely on that heavily. I know I do. All right, the next thing we want to talk about is configuring the Visual Studio environment so that we're more comfortable in our space. And there's a number of different things that we can set. I want to set two different properties of Visual Studio itself and show you how to get at the other properties like the fonts, the colors of Visual Studio, how it responds to certain things you do within the tool. And to get to that, we're going to go to Tools menu and then the Options submenu item. That'll pop open the options dialog. And so the way this works is that there's a series of pages on the left-hand side. And when we select a page, it'll display all the options for that page on the right-hand side. There's also this Show All Settings option at the very bottom. We're going to need that, actually, because as you see, when we click that, it goes from just the most popular options to all options that are available for Visual Studio. And we're going to need that, because I want to find where I can set, and I think I'm going to need to go to Text Editor, C Sharp. Yeah, yes, I want to enable line numbers. So I'm going to click the line number option and then click the OK button. And when I do that, notice down the left-hand side in an aqua colored font by default, I see line numbers. So this makes it easy whenever I want to explain to you, hey, take a look at line number 28. Or I want to explain it to another coworker. Hey, take a look at line number 28 in code. You know, hey, we're having a problem here. What are we going to do about it? It generally is good for taking notes, reminding yourself of where you left off before lunch, for example. The other option I want to change is the colors and the fonts for the editor itself. And I'm going to go to Environment. I believe, let's see, where can we find that? Oh yeah, Environment, Fonts and Colors. So what I'm going to do is, and there are a lot of options, and you can see that this shows settings for the text editor as opposed to the other windows within Visual Studio. I want to show the settings for the text editor. I want to change the foreground to white and the background to black. And when I do that, it flip-flops the colors around. So now I'm typing in a black background with white letters. Now, I'm not much of a tweaker. Some people really enjoy changing up the color schemes of Visual Studio. I guess if I was staring at it all day, every day, I might want a visual change. I don't get the opportunity to do that as much anymore as I used to. So I'm going to flip these back to what I'm most comfortable with, which would be, I'm just going to select default and default and then click OK to get back. But there are options to change the colors for every different type of text. Remember how we said that Visual Studio helps us by giving us, for example, certain like nouns in one color and verbs in another color? Everything is modifiable within the tools options dialog. So just keep that in mind as you want to refine how you use Visual Studio. If you're one of those kind of people that loves to tweak your environment, it's all available for you there. The next thing I want to talk about is code rollup. You'll see that there's these little minus signs next to these code blocks that have been defined. For example, we've been working in this click me button underscore click event code block, and we said the code block is defined by curly braces. There's a way to roll up this code block so that it doesn't take up so much space, and we can kind of roll up every code block if we want to. And then click on the plus sign to unravel all the code we've rolled up. Now, if you hover your mouse cursor over the little ellipsis icon next to the name of the code block, in this case, the My First XAML page, if I hover my mouse cursor over it, we can see a little snapshot of the code that's inside of it. So same thing is here. If I hover my mouse cursor over it, a little window pops open showing me the code or a snapshot of the code that's inside of that rolled up area. And why would you want to do that? For the same reason that you would want to add code comments or use indentation, use colors for different things. It just helps you to parse out only those pieces of code that you will actually want to look at. You don't want to look, sometimes it's just too much information on the screen at the same time. To reduce that amount, use code rollup. And then drill into the pieces you actually need once you need to look at them. Okay, so it helps you parse through the code as you're looking at it. All right, and then I think the final topic we're going to look at right now is to look at code that's saved versus not saved within the environment. There's a couple of clues that let you know that you haven't saved your work yet. The first clue is this yellow line, and that yellow line is an indication that these lines of code have not been saved. Also, another indication that the file has not been saved is the little asterisk that's next to the file name. As you can see in this case, nothing has changed with myfirstpage.xaml, but something has changed with the myfirstpage.xaml.cs file because of the asterisk. If I were to click the save or save all buttons in the toolbar, you can see now that yellow line turns into a green line. Also, the asterisk has been removed from the tab itself. And since we're talking about tabs, you know, you can reorder tabs by dragging it and moving it around. So you can change the order. You can also access the list of tabs here from this little drop-down arrow in the right-hand side of that window. Oh, and there's a ton of little tricks you can do, like if you want to move your Solution Explorer to a different part of the window, see how when I move it one place or another, it gives me some options where and how I want to dock it. Let's say I want to put it all the way here at the bottom, and now the Solution Explorer is down there along with the error list, and if I unpin it, it'll just become a little tab here at the bottom that I can hover my mouse cursor over. And to get it back into place, I'm just going to drag it and drop it one more time all the way here. And I might have to fiddle around with this just a little bit. And now I've got it all back in order. So it gives you those little helpers visually to determine where you should drop the panes and to get them configured just right. So now you know quite a bit about Visual Studio, how to configure it to your liking to make your work more productive and make you feel more productive in that environment, how to get visual cues about what's actually going on and remind yourself, oh, I need to save this, or, oh, that's what that property means, thanks for the little help window, and so on. So now that we have all that information, we can move on and start learning about C# proper. So we're going to do that in the next video. Thank you.